Going to go ahead and get to the text of 1 Timothy. And if you don't mind, just give me a moment to flip there. And I just want to have my notes ready. And, Brother Blevins, I asked him. I always like to ask preachers when I preach to their people, because he's the leader of the flock. God gave him an authority in this local New Testament church. And I always want to be respectful and ask him, hey, what does your people need to hear? And some people will tell me, hey, what's on their heart? And then I try to meet that need. And I want to be used of God to meet the needs of the people and the audience of the here. But he said, preach the Word of God, brother. Preach what's on your heart. And so that makes it challenging. I'm always praying, but then that means I got to pray. I got to say, God, you got to show me the need, because I don't know any of y'all. I mean, I know some of y'all. I remember some of y'all. But I don't know what you're going through right now. That's what the pastor is for. He's here to lead the flock. He's there to give counsel, accurate counsel of the Word of God. But here's what's going on in the book of Timothy. It's written by Paul, the apostle, who got saved on the Damascus Road. And he trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And God gave him great responsibilities, made him a missionary to the Gentiles. But along the line, he meets this young man named Timothy. And Timothy is his young apprentice, so to say, just like this young man is a young apprentice to this pastor here. And he is pouring himself into this young man right now. And I'm sure he's doing the same thing for all y'all in different ways for different needs that you have. But it sounds like this man's wanting to be a preacher. He has a desire to preach the Word. Am I correct? He's pouring himself into this young man, because there's a torch he's going to have to carry that he won't be able to carry sometime in the future. And it trickles down. So Paul is writing this letter when he's away to Macedonia on a missionary trip. And he's writing a letter to Timothy, and he is in Ephesus. And it seems to me that Timothy is at least planting a local church in Ephesus. And he's having trouble, I believe, with some people teaching in error. They're not accurately dividing the Word of God. And I find that that's a big problem in a lot of our churches in this nation. It's a problem around the world. They deviate from the Word of God. See, the Word of God is its own commentary. You don't have to. Now, it doesn't hurt. I use studies. I study commentaries of other people. But I ask the Holy Spirit to help me with that. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me detect error. But I don't depend on the commentaries, even though I use them. I depend on the Word of God. I depend on people that God used, like Noah Webster, that came up with the dictionary, and God had him to use Scripture in defining the words. And because I'm not a genius, but God can do a work in my life, and He can have me to study to show myself approved. But that's the problem in a lot of churches. They'll get things wrong about baptism, like maybe infant baptism. That's unbiblical. The Bible does not support that whatsoever. That's just an example. But I'm not here to point my fingers at all the church. I'm just trying to give you a picture of what's going on. So Timothy is discouraged. Could you imagine this young preacher? And I'm sure Timothy is not at the point where he just started out. I'm sure he already been learning for quite some time for the Apostle Paul to leave him at Ephesus to help start this New Testament local church in Ephesus. But it seems like Paul is encouraging him to stay. And to stay in Ephesus, for it seems that there's a lot of things that are going on that should not be going on in this local church. So he's trying to encourage them to stick with it. And we can look at verse number 3, if y'all don't mind to look with me. As I beseech thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Again, this is my introduction. This is not my main text. But he is charging them. He is telling Timothy to give, to straighten this mess out. He's telling them to give direction, command direction, that some may teach no other doctrine. And when he says no other doctrine, he's saying that they need to teach nothing but the Word of God. No error. They need to be sure that what they're teaching is rightly divided and that they are not deviating from the teachings of the Word of God. But Paul also gives spiritual advices concerning avoiding fables, which is telling fairy tales in the pulpit or in the Sunday school room, and focusing on godly edification. And edification is just help others build themselves up in the faith in the Word of God. So our main purpose for being here is that we get in the Word of God, build up our faith, grow so that we can be used out there in the world, so that we can influence the world. See, the problem is the world is influencing the churches because the world is influencing you individually. So I'm just going to ask you, and this is not my message, but is the world influencing you? I'm not preaching against the television. I'm not preaching against the radio. I do recommend you turn off the radio and listen to godly music that edifies in the Word of God. I would recommend that you turn off the TV and not watch these shows that entertain you, but listen to some good preaching from the Word of God or spend time in the Word of God. I'm not being a hypocrite. I do watch television shows, but let me explain. I'm a father of a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I do allow them to watch some shows like Word World, where they see words come together and it's animals. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you have that desire to fill your mind with the world, with worldly things. But we just got to get out of that. We got to get our minds focused on being edified with the Word of God, building our faith up. And that takes study, that takes reading. You can start your goals off small. You can read maybe a chapter a day, and it might take you 2 to 3 years to do it. But you know what? You're edifying. You're building yourself up in the faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with this book. This is our guideline for living. But we need to focus on godly edification. And that's what he's telling the pastor to go with, because I have no doubt that this church or the people in Ephesus was influencing Timothy. I'm just making an inference, but I believe he was discouraged. I believe that he knew this is not how it should be going, but that they teach no other doctrine. But Paul tells them to focus on godly edification. So my main text is on verse 8 through 11, and let's read what he says here. But we know that the law is good, and if a man use it lawfully. So what Paul is telling Timothy, we know. Beyond what's been said, beyond what all the problems are happening in this church in Ephesus, we know. Timothy, we know. And we understand that the law, which the law is anything that is established as rule by God, the guidelines that are set up in this book that God has ordained before the creation of the world, I believe, and it will always stand after the end of the world with God in heaven, for God is everlasting. But the law is good, it's valid and strong and complete, and it is right. But it depends whether if it's right or not, if a man will handle it, apply it, practice it lawfully, which means if you would handle it properly in accordance with the Word of God in its full context. See, the Bible is God's law for mankind, for we must understand that God's Word is in its full context and use it and use the whole Bible as its own commentary. If we deviate from that, then there'd be no telling what we'd be teaching in this church today. And I believe that's the problem with a lot of churches. They don't rightly divine the right Word of God. I stand on the King James Bible. And I do that because, first of all, the other translations, after my own studies and research, my main problem with it is that they attack the divinity of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you study those other versions and those other translations or perversions, you will find that the meat of it, which is what the law points to, the Lord Jesus Christ, is that He is God. But the other versions teach that Joseph was His father and that He was not divine. And they do it little by little. And if you study the history about how this translation came out, it took this part out. And then how another translation came out, it took this part out about who Jesus Christ is. And it's untelling what other things they point out or take out of the Word of God. But I do agree that it contains parts of the Word of God in them. And I'm thankful that God can limit the damage throughout the years of what Satan can do. But it is a problem. People are not using the right foundation. And I stand on the Word of God, and I stand on the King James Bible. And I don't want to be a fanatic in any way, shape, or form, but I want to use what God has established for the English-speaking language. And I don't want to be unkind. I had to tell a gentleman yesterday, and I don't like to get in these conversations when I'm out soul winning, when I'm out talking to people. But if the Lord puts it on my heart to say it, I'm going to say it in sincerity and kindness and as loving as possible. But I encouraged them to get in the Word of God yesterday, and he is my cousin. And I said to him, you know, get in the Word of God, because he said, I work Sunday. I work 7 days a week, and I try to encourage him, hey, let's pray that God will get you in church, that something will happen at work, that he'll perform a miracle. But get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you do. You can get in the Word of God right now. Your lunch hour. Get in the Word of God and make good goals. And he said, you know what? I read my Bible all the way through, and it had no effect on me. I didn't understand it. And he was reading the New King James, I come to find out. And I challenged him. And I gave him, and I may have given him too much information. God, forgive me. But I told him, this book is the most powerful book in the world. It's a living, breathing book. It is not just an old book. It is our guideline to life. And I told him, if you sincerely pray to God to help you understand this Bible, I believe it'll change your life. But you got to stay faithful in the Word of God. I did not mean to attack the Bible that was given to him. The Bible was given to him by somebody he loved. But if my loved ones, if my wife, which is dear to my heart, gave me a counterfeit bill, it's useless to me. I cannot use it. There's nothing I can do with it. And if I use it knowing that it's counterfeit, and I try to give it to somebody as if it is real, then I have committed a crime. I have committed an offense against, let's say, our government. But I believe if we use anything other than this Bible, and we speak the English-speaking language, I believe we are not growing in the things of God as He wants us to, and I believe that's sin. We got to use the firm foundation. But let me ask you this. The Bible is God's law for mankind. It's valid and complete and strong within itself. God's Word will never lead a man in the wrong direction, because God's Word is always right. God's Word will stand for all eternity. For the book of Matthew 24:35 says, my Word shall not pass away. So God's Word must be handled properly in order to avoid false teachings. For it's only good if it is used lawfully or handled properly. So my question is, and the title of my message is, what man should know about the law in order to use it lawfully? So what man should know about the Word of God, about the law, what God has established in order to use it lawfully? I believe the answers is in verse 9 through 11. Verse 9, you'll see that the law was not made for a righteous man, but rather an unrighteous man. In verse 10, you're going to see that unrighteousness is contrary. It opposes sound doctrine. It opposes the Word of God. It opposes everything that God has established. In verse number 11, we'll see that only a righteous man is entrusted with the glorious gospel of the blessed God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Blevins, will you pray for this message today?
Quench our hunger, God, that we give utterance to the Holy Ghost this morning. God, touch us, your dear brother, and God, your son, God, your man, for this appointed hour, God, that you feel him, Lord, that you speak through him with clearness of voice, clarity of mind, and God, I pray that you'd hide him behind the old rugged cross. Lord, we love you. God, we love you. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen.
Hey, Brother Blevins, thank you for your endurance through the long introduction. But I believe it's important for us to understand what Timothy was going through. And I believe it was important to see what was happening and that nothing changes. The Bible is so up to date with what is going on in our world today. I mean, I can see churches deviating from the Word of God. And all of a sudden, it's like our churches are out of control. They are not in accordance with what the Word of God on all kinds of issues, whether if it's infant baptism, or if it's homosexual marriage, or if it's the transgender issue, or if it's marriages just between one man and one woman. I mean, there's just a whole broad things that we can talk about with what's wrong with the church. And then if a church is out of control, then the nation that the churches are in are out of control. And I believe it's very important that we just understand some basics. Number one, the law was not made for a righteous man, but for an unrighteous man. You know, a lot of things, and I don't want to be critical of churches, but if you want to be a right kind of church, we got to understand that the law, the Word of God, was made for an unrighteous man. It was made to get sinners saved. It was made so that people can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and could come back to God. For God made man in His own image, that in His own likeness. And when man sinned, when Adam sinned, it's like he did a complete 180. It's like he went away from God. You know, a lot of y'all have children, and those children are born into your image and your likeness. They are just like you. They look like you. They talk like you. And then all of a sudden, if they do something that offends you or hurts you or brings disrespect to you, it's like it ruins that fellowship. So it's all about, the law is to, it's not for the righteous man, the ones that are trying to do right in the eyes of God, the ones that are seen as cleansed or without spot, but it's made for those that have spot, that have done wrong. And so that it's made to bring man into fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. So let's look at verse 9. It says, knowing this, Paul is saying, understanding this, Timothy, that the law, which is what God's standard is for living for man, is not made, which is not intended for the righteous man, which is a man that has set his heart to do right in the eyes of God, because that man is seen as cleansed in the eyes of God. But it was intended for the unrighteous man. And I just added that in there. For understanding. But the Word of God gives an example for unrighteous acts. You know, if you read the rest of verse 9 and the beginning of verse 10, he'll tell you a list of some unrighteous acts. He couldn't list them all. It's listed out through the whole Bible if you want to go in and study it. But it gives a list of unrighteous acts. And we'll just look at a few right fast. The lawless, those that are not following the law, those that do not recognize the law, like an atheist, they just don't recognize that. Oh, it's not divine. There's no God. The disobedience. Those that refuse to obey the law. The rebellious spirit to those in authority. A lot of people are rebellious against the one true living Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. For the ungodly, for those that do not fear or reverence God's laws, there's no respect for that God, even though they may believe Him, but they don't have no respect for Him. A lot of people I witness to are bitter at God. How can this God allow so many bad things to happen? They fail to read the Word of God. They don't understand that God allowed man to have his own will and he makes his own decisions, because God doesn't want a puppet. He wants somebody to love him with all their heart. I don't want my wife to be a puppet. Sometimes I wish she'd more submissive, amen. But I'm going to tell you, it's something when I have to do something to win her affection and she really loves me and submits to me. It means the world to me when she does that. And I believe God wants that same love from you and from man. And that's why He gives man a free will. He doesn't want a puppet on a string to do what He wants him to do. He wants people to do things because they love Him with all their heart. For the ungodly, for the sinners, which the sinners are those that break the law, which is everybody. Everybody is a sinner by birth. You're not a sinner because you sin. You're a sinner because you're born a sinner. The Bible teaches that from the sin of Adam, that all that sin was passed from man to man. And the Bible proves that. Even the first man in the world that was ever created in God's likeness, and he never sinned until he disobeyed God. And because of that, sin entered the world, and sin was passed down from man to man. But for the unholy, for those that are not renewing or sanctified, in other words, they're being worldly. They're living a life to the fullest. That is the motto today. Live life to the fullest. You got one life, live it now. But the Bible teaches that's not true. You have life after death. You have everlasting life or you have no life. You're either going to heaven when you die or you're going to hell when you die. And you're going to be there somewhere forever, either in heaven or hell. But you don't live life to the fullest. Now, you live life now for the glory of God. You lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. You focus on those treasures in heaven, because wherever your treasures are, your heart is also. And I'm just thankful for that. But there's people that live a life that they're not focusing on the things of God, no matter what the consequences or who gets hurt. There's no regard for other people or God. But and profane. They're irreverent to the things of God. They are disregarding God's ways. They're offending God. And they're standing in the way of God's people. You know, I think of people opposing the nation of Israel and how God has proved that He loves His people in Israel and that God takes care of His people Israel, even in their disobedience to Him. But God has a plan for those people. And if you read and study your Bible, He's going to take care of those people. He's going to protect that little nation that's in the midst of all those people that hate them. And God help us if we as a church, which a lot of churches will preach against Israel. I can think of this man, I won't name his name, that's all over YouTube, and he calls himself a preacher. And he is all about preaching against Israel. He's all against it. And he will say that the covenant is no longer there because the church has taken its place. No, that is not true. The church is in the church age where God is going to use that people. He's setting aside Israel for a time until He calls the church home. And then there is a plan for Israel. And I'm not going to speak more on that. I don't feel qualified to speak more on that. But we don't need to be standing in the way of God's people. And there is the world is standing in the way of God's people. And if people would just get in their Bible, if they would rightly divide that, they would understand Israel is God's chosen people. God told Abraham, if you bless him, I'll bless you. And in other words, He's saying, if you curse Abraham's people, I'm going to curse you. God help us. God help us. We're in trouble. We need to be praying for Benjamin Netanyahu and the people of Israel. And we need to pray for our president that is showing a slightest interest in helping them. God help him. And pray for me. I was worried about our president because he was talking about making peace and negotiations. Oh, that scared me. But we need to be praying for the people of Israel and be praying for what the church is doing. All right. I mean, if the church, if there's people that call themselves the church and they're saying we're doing this for God and it is against the word of God, stand against it, amen. But if there is a pastor and he's got a vision to do something and it's not contrary to the word of God, support him. Don't stand in his way. But the world is standing is so against us preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ at this hour. God help us. But God says that's sin. That's unrighteousness. For the murderers of fathers and the murderers of mothers. Of course, that's not only talking about physical murder, but a murder where you would cause your parents to die in disobedience to themselves. And maybe you're beaten or striking. Maybe not physically, but maybe with your words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God established that order. Obey your parents. For manslayers, homicide, murder is one that's slain a human being. Cold-blooded murder, and I believe abortion is murder. I don't mean to get into all the political things that's going on in this world, but abortion is murder. And I cannot remember 6-point-some billion babies since 1970. I don't remember the year, but since Roe versus Wade have been killed. And our government says it's okay. But the Word of God says it's not okay. It's not okay to do that, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the reason. Doesn't matter if it's rape or incest or anything of that nature. That child did not do anything wrong. And that is murder. I believe there's a lot of babies that's going to be in heaven when we get there. We're going to meet some new people that we had not had a chance to meet here. Amen. But for manslayers. For whoremongers, verse 10. Those that are addicted to fornication or adultery. Unclean sexual desires or acts. Now, I mentioned the word pornography. You know, there's a lot of people that go to churches that are addicted to pornography. A lot of men and a lot of women, but mostly our children. You know, if you read any articles, there's a lot of House member representatives in different states that are calling out for a state of emergency against pornography. And you can hear the news, and I don't want to mention what's going on with Mr. Duggar, and he was supposed to be standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was addicted to pornography. That ruined his testimony. A lot of things going on in churches that should not be going on. But for them that defile themselves with mankind, talking about one that lies with mankind is womankind, or vice versa. Talking about sodomy, homosexuality, the transgender issue is the big thing right now. Churches are accepting an epidemic. We're called to stand against that mess. Amen. We're not here to go along to get along. I want to get along with people. I want to love them. I talk to a woman. I love her so much at where I work, and I understand why she is that way. The argument is not, should not be. They're born that way. They're that way because something happened in their life that should not have happened. In this woman's case, she was married to a man that beat her, physically and emotionally. I can tell that by talking to her. But it affected her so much. But she just needs the gospel. You know, a lot of these churches want to accept that lifestyle so they can get them in the church and then win them to Christ. No, you win people to Christ by loving them sincerely and say, hey, you know what? You're wrong. The Bible stands against that, but you know what? God wants you to stand with Him. He wants you to do a complete 180. He wants you to repent. He wants you to have a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of attitude about who you are as a sinner. And He wants you to focus on Him who He is, as holy, righteous, without spot or wrinkle. And He wants you to put your faith and trust in Him, to live your life for Him. Just to live your life for Him. But we shouldn't be accepting those things. For men stealers, one who steal and sells another human being, a slave dealer, kidnapper, human trafficker. You know, I heard an event that's going on in Statesville that it's one of the top places for child sex trafficking. And it just gets to the point, I don't want to drive through there. I don't want to go through there. I don't want to put my kids in that situation. But I heard a story about how a young boy was taken in a situation like that at a rest stop. And the mom was looking for him diligently. And apparently she was coming close. And so many years passed and the child was grown up, and he called his mother and said, listen, stop looking for me. You don't know what you're into. Stop it or bad things are going to happen. God help us. God's going to judge people for doing that to a family. God's going to judge people. And it's going to be in a devil's hell. And they're going to remember that for all eternity, what they have done to mess up the lives of another human being in this earth. But God, we need to preach against those things for life and not accept those things. You know, what a bad thought it would be if a church was whoever called themselves a church was involved in things of that nature, helping and assist in those things because they're worried about their paycheck or they're worried about their reputation or they're worried about getting hurt in their family or causing harm to their family. No, we're supposed to stand on the Word of God. Amen. For what's right is for what is right, no matter what the consequences. For liars, those that are falsifiers, a person that tells a lie, a person that does not tell the truth in actions or word. The word is the same word as counterfeit. It's making yourself look like you're something that you're not. A lot of the problems in the churches today is that people come to church to play church. They come to church to fulfill this obligation, maybe to a family member, or maybe to a pastor of the church, or maybe to a Sunday school teacher, or maybe to a school teacher, whoever, but they are not going to church to be what they need to be for the glory of God. God help us. God help us. Churches are not a club. It is not a social club for you to come to and hang out with. It's for you to be edified, to build up in the faith, so that you can do something out there for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it does take time. I'm not saying to rush it, but get in the Word of God. For perjured persons, actually. The word is perjury. A person that is willingly given a false oath. Like if somebody raises their hand and says, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's perjury if you lie, willingly lie under oath just to get out of trouble. I believe many politicians are guilty of this. I believe a lot of Sunday schools are guilty of this. I believe a lot of deacons are guilty of this. They're lying under oath on the Word of God, and they're supposed to be something. They're supposed to be for the Lord Jesus Christ, to live their life in a way, but they have that secret sin in their life. But God help us. But the purpose of the law, though, is not for the righteous man, but for the unrighteous man. The law, the Word of God, is supposed to reveal that we are sinners. For Romans 3:20 says, For by the law is knowledge of sin. And the law lets man know that he is a sinner, and therefore is an unrighteous man needing to become righteous. He needs to become righteous because unrighteousness is contrary to sound doctrine. See, the law, the Word of God, condemns. You are condemned. You are a sinner. You are not right, seen as cleansed in the eyes of God, and God cannot let unrighteousness into heaven. He can only let righteousness into heaven. That's why He sent the Lord Jesus Christ here to die as that spotless lamb. He was born of a virgin. And he lived for 33 and a half years and ministered for 3.5 years, I believe. And then he fulfilled all the prophecies in the law, in the Old Testament prophecies that were predicted some 400 years before. And then beyond that, in the Word of God. In the Word of God. And he did that, and it pleased the Father. And he pleased him in all things, even unto death, and even unto the resurrection. And that whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ and believeth all their heart that God raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. But that is what the purpose of the law is, to get people saved. Amen. But understanding that righteousness is contrary to sound doctrine. If you look at verse 10, we read all of those unrighteous acts. And then it says, and any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. People need to understand that if you are against this book, if you are doing things that are against God, then you are opposing God. Any other thing, any other unrighteous act that Paul didn't list to Timothy in the letter, that is contrary, that is opposite towards sound doctrine, to instructions, to teachings, what God is trying to teach us to live in this in His Word, that we are opposing Him. Sin and unrighteousness is opposite of God and His perfect law and order for us to live in this world. And this, and really, if you think about it, this us living the Christian life in this world is supposed to prepare us for life eternal in heaven. Amen? Amen. I don't see how, is when I think about the deafness, the depth of how people that do not that are saved and do not live the way that they ought to live, how are they going to be comfortable living where there is no sin? How are they going to be comfortable living that way in heaven? You know, I know God is supernatural. He can wipe those tears away when He judges our works at the great at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. But I want to try to get as comfortable as I can living the Christian life here before I get to heaven. I want to be able to leave those crowns at my Savior's feet, the soul winner's crown, and all the other crowns that are mentioned. And I want to give it to Him. It's not for me to have. The Bible says, lay up your treasures in heaven, for where your heart is, where your treasures are, your heart is also. But why? Well, if you are opposing God, you are opposing who He is and who He wants. I mean, what He wants out of your life. So I recommend you repent from oppression to submission. Submit your life to Him. Say, God, I want to be used of You. God, I need to be saved. God, save me. I know I'm wrong. I know I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by grace. I need to be saved because I trust that You sent Jesus Christ, which the Word of God teaches, into this world, because we needed that to happen. For You loved us so much that whosoever believeth on the only begotten Son of God shall not perish in hell, what we deserve, because we were contrary. We offended God in our sinful, unrighteous lifestyle. But by grace, we have eternal life. By grace, through faith, are we saved. But because a righteous man is entrusted with the glorious gospel of the blessed God. If you look at verse 11, only a righteous man is entrusted with the glorious gospel of the blessed God. If you look at verse 11, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed Lord, which was committed to my trust. See, God, Paul was saying to Timothy, you know, the law is in agreement with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the perfect message from God. It's the good news that God, that there was bad news, that we were sinners. There is no hope, but God gave us a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we accept that message, then if we accept that salvation, then God wants to make us a good steward. He wants to entrust us as a steward with the message of the affairs of the gospel. See, we're on business for the King. We're on business for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls us ambassadors. That means we are a representative. Christ is gone. He's preparing a place for us. And He, as He's preparing a place for us, He wants us to help Him prepare a place for others. That's what He wants. So we need to go, we need to take this seriously. We need to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved so that we can get other people saved. Not saying we do anything except to work. We just try to, we don't get them saved. There's nothing in our power except our efforts. We just do everything we can. We try to study. We try to be consistent in soul winning. We try to be consistent in our behavior at work or outside of this church. But that is what we are supposed to be, as representatives. God wants unrighteous sinners to become righteous men. So so that he can entrust him to become a good steward of the gospel. And God doesn't only want you to get saved just in order for you to get to heaven. If that was the case, you would have been in heaven already. He would have taken you out, raptured you out, I believe, once you got saved. But if that happened, then I believe there would be a lot of people in hell right now. But to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and share the good news with the lost and dying world without Jesus Christ. You know, if we can get a hymn of invitation going right now, and I don't know if you want to lead the invitation.